Welcome to the show, everybody. Mark Farzetta here for the Farzy Show, presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Hope you guys had just a wonderful weekend outside of what the Sixers gave us on that fateful Saturday night. Phillies, they were awesome yesterday. That was fun. Grand Slams are fun. Trey Turner's fun. And you see who Rob Thompson had leading off yesterday? It was Trey Turner. Rob Thompson. Philly Rob knows what he's doing. We'll go over the MLB rule changes. We'll go over the Sixers disappointment. We'll also go over Trey Turner's professional debut as a member of the Philadelphia Phillies. I say professional simply because it was the first time he was on the field or in the jersey, and it was good, and he played, and it was awesome. So we got a lot to get into from over the weekend. I want to start on a happy note, a more recent note, and that's with the way the Phillies played yesterday. And the Phillies with Trey Turner at the top of their order, and I know yesterday was great, and he had a single from Trey Turner, he had some RBIs from Trey Turner, he had a stolen base from Trey Turner. All that's great. Well, I think we know what we should be getting from Trey Turner. Just seeing him do it in a Phillies uniform, albeit spring training, is great. It's sort of like the expectations we had, although these expectations, I believe, for Turner are higher than what they were for Castellanos. It was still good to see Castellanos hit a home run yesterday, because the power numbers are something that has to make a return to his game this season. And seeing him go opposite field yesterday for a home run was just a nice sight to see. It's one thing to finally see the Phillies back at it in spring training. All systems go, more or less. Aaron Nola is going to get the start today. Then he got Zach Wheeler on Tuesday, and then he got Andrew Painter making nice little debut for himself in a Phillies uniform at the big league level, the 19-year-old, as he'll get the start on Wednesday. PJ and I were talking before the show about how just, how excited we are for Wednesday to just watch this 6'7" fireballer throw for the Phillies. We are all amped for Wednesday. But before we get to that, a couple of things to take away from this, first official game, if you will, not split squad or anything like that for the Phillies. Watching Trey Turner at the top of this order, it creates so many awesome possibilities. And it's so many awesome possibilities for a number of reasons. One is the fact that he's just talented. Him at the top of the order hitting in front of Kyle Schwarber opens up so many doors when you think about the rule changes and you just think about the overall talent of these two performers. I mean, Trey Turner's ability to get on base with anything from a 350 to 365 on-base percentage, his ability to hit for average, his ability to steal bases, especially under the new rules, it's a sight for sore eyes in this Phillies lineup. Because as great as Kyle Schwarber was last year, and he was phenomenal as a power-hitting leadoff man, he had a record number of strikeouts with 200 last season. To have him have a man on base, to have him in a situation where there's no shift, if you're going around Major League Baseball and you're looking for a 1-2 punch to start off a game for you, that's a pretty damn good top of the order for any lineup across all of baseball. And I'm not basing this on one spring training game. I'm basing this on the career of Trey Turner and Kyle Schwarber, and also, of course, what Kyle Schwarber brought to the table last year. That's what I was so excited for. Now, yesterday, you didn't get the Trey Turner leadoff hit and then the two-run home run. You know, that's going to happen, I think, at least a handful of times, to say the least, coming into this season. But with those guys at the top of your order, great things are going to happen. And I think Rob Thompson has organized this lineup in a way, after one game, that is going to reflect more or less what he's going to do during the regular season. There'll be shuffling of the deck. There'll be shuffling of the order. We know that it always happens. It's not one lineup, and then they stick with that. But I think this is the way he is going to go about it. And watching it yesterday unfold just made me want the season to start even sooner. So watching that was great. Seeing other guys in the lineup hit. I didn't even realize that Roger Clemens' son was playing for the Phils now, so that was cool. He had a home run yesterday, so that was great. Phillies were just all over it. 10-8 victory over Minnesota in the Grapefruit League schedule, so that was great. A couple of the rule changes I want to go over, because we haven't really got into it too much on the show. I mentioned the bigger bases this year around the first, second, and third. I mentioned a couple of them, but when it comes to the rule changes, I see people talking about mixed reviews. I should say I see people referencing mixed reviews. I don't see that many people really arguing against the rule changes as if they're a bad idea. I know there's people out there that, oh, this is bad for baseball. You know, baseball has no clock. And I know they were talking about it on the broadcast yesterday. And it is weird for me when I'm watching to see that little timer come up, that little clock come up, as if I'm watching the final countdown of an NCAA tournament or whatever it might be, especially with the way they used to do the clock a million years ago. But it is weird to see it. I will say that. I'll acknowledge that. But as far as the reason the clock is there, I am fine with. The overall feeling I have is that this is the point baseball has evolved to. With the game being slower than ever, with the game taking more time than ever, baseball needed to do something to save the game. World Series numbers continue to go down ratings-wise year after year. That's not a good sign. And I'm a baseball-first guy. But when it comes to, at least I used to be before the little collective bargaining thing that we got into last year. But just in terms of somebody who grew up as baseball being a number one sport and all that stuff, when I see that clock, it does not give me warm and fuzzies, but it makes me realize that baseball is making a drastic change that it needed to make. When you're competing with the NFL, when you're competing with the NBA, when you're competing with all these other sports and the rise of other sports and other interests and all that, and even competing with kids that are more into gaming than they are to actually watching a game, I think you have a lot to compete with. Attention spans. I remember being a kid and people talking about MTV ruining the attention span of the American teen. All right. Well, now I look at the iPhone. I look at the Twitterverse. I look at quick media as it goes out now when you have little shorts here and there, little reels here and there. Attention spans aren't what they used to be. When you have a game like baseball that is just inherently slow, it is a slow game. But you do things throughout, whether it be pitching changes or whatever, that is slowing the game down more, you have to do something to make sure you're staying on somewhat of a decent time frame, somewhat of a decent schedule. And I think the pitch clock is a big part of that. When you look around through different games, not just the Phillies, but game time taking a lot less so far this spring training compared to what it was at the regular season last year, I want to see how it applies during the regular season. I know a lot of people have come out and they've talked about game times going from like 3 hours and 30 minutes down to, you know, 2 hours and 30 minutes, 2 hours and 45 minutes, 2 hours and 6 minutes is one of the scores or one of the game times I saw in spring training. It's going to cut down in spring. Times, you know, I need to see it compared to the regular season when the regular season actually starts at the big league level, not minor league games. Not that. I need to see it compared regular season versus regular season. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. But I think it is a necessary evil that baseball brought this in. So one of the things I was looking at yesterday, a couple of the other rule changes aside from just the pitch clock. One thing is the pickoff rule. I still don't understand the pickoff rule. If you're on first base, if you're Trey Turner yesterday in the first inning, and you're leading off from first base, and the pitcher has already used his two pickoffs or disengagements from the rubber, do you just take the largest lead possible and just hope the catcher doesn't pick you off on a snap throw to first? How does that work exactly? Because the lead Trey Turner got yesterday was abundant. I'll say it was abundant. It was like, even if they were trying to catch him at second base, the ball still would have been in the catcher's hand, it felt like, when he was cocking back to throw to second as he was taking the bag. So it definitely is advantage offense, as I know was the goal of making these rules in the first place. But I'm watching this yesterday with the Phillies, and I'm scouring different rules or different explanations of the rules to try to find out what exactly is what can happen as a base runner after the pitcher takes his first two pickoff attempts or disengagements, as it's ruled there on the book. And you can do anything you want. Like I said, the catcher can throw over to first base on a snap throw any amount of time that he wants, however many times he wants. But watching it from a pitcher's perspective, you're giving up huge leads at first base. It's up to the runner to make sure he doesn't get picked off by the catcher. But it's just an odd thing because you know they used all their bullets, essentially. If you're looking over at the pitcher and you know he's already come over to you twice, oh, it's free reign. go on first movement, I guess. Because if he does throw over a third time or disengages a third time, it basically counts as a balk and you're awarded the next base. That's a little odd. But a lot of these rules I find to be just necessary evils. I've always hated the shift. I remember even reading up on Ted Williams and the shift they would do all the way back then. I remember thinking, well, that's stupid. Second base should be at second base. Shortstop should be at shortstop. You know, I just thought it was always stupid. But baseball, I think when baseball saw a left fielder come in and play on the infield, I think they're like, now's the time. Now's the time to probably shake things up a little bit and get away from this. Now's probably a good time to get away from that. The other thing that jumped out to me with the rule changes is, and this is on the negative side of things, the 8 seconds a batter has to be facing the pitcher. Manny Machado was the first to get called on it. You've probably seen it by now. That rule makes no sense to me. You should be in the box. Addressing the pitcher shouldn't matter. If you're the pitcher and that guy's not paying attention, that's on him. That's the rule that doesn't make any sense to me. I know there's a lot of this also that has to do with interpretation and the umpire's discretion. But the one thing that just makes zero sense to me is the batter has to be in the box facing the pitcher by the 8 second count of the 20 seconds with a runner on, 15 seconds with nobody on. 8 seconds you have to be facing the pitcher. That is stupid. Like, I'm trying to find where's the positive in this. Is it to make sure you're not getting quick pitch? Because it doesn't matter. If you're in the box, the pitcher can still do whatever the hell he wants. That's the thing that makes zero sense. I have to be facing the pitcher at 8 seconds. Why? Are you in the box? Then fair game. It's almost taking a step backwards from the previous. Doesn't make any sense. That's the only thing that jumps out to me and thinks stupid. I know other people have had these questions regarding the long fly ball. I saw Corey Simon tweeting about this. I saw, was it Josh Harrison that actually put out something as well? When it comes to if there's a foul ball and an outfielder is in pursuit, and you see it all the time, there's a pop foul ball between third base and left field, and both players are in pursuit defensively, and there's a long run for the left fielder to come down and try to catch it, nobody gets it. Is it then 15 seconds right away? Or do you allow that outfielder and third baseman to go back to their positions and then start the clock? That part of it is going to be up to the umpire's discretion. I'm going to assume that most umpires are going to wait before the left fielder or the third baseman in this scenario get closer to their spots before they're just like, oh, the ball hit the ground and 15 seconds on the pitch clock. That's going to be up to the pitcher, or excuse me, up to the umpire. Also, if a catcher gets a ball hit off his mask and the mask goes flying, then he's got to gather that, or he needs a minute to gather himself after making sure he's not hurt or anything like that. That also will be up to the umpire's discretion. So what Major League Baseball did do was allow some wiggle room. I think the weirdest rule, though, goes back to that 8 seconds facing the pitcher, because that just seems to be so weird for a batter. How do you know I'm not facing him? How do you know I'm not having my head down and I'm just like looking up at him? It's just a weird rule that the Major League Baseball, I think they got it wrong on that one. If you're in the box, you're in the box. You're in the box! Either way, that's what I got for you on baseball as far as the rule changes go. Rhys Hoskins had surgery. Okay. Rob Thompson disclosed that on Sunday, saying that there was a minimally invasive scope, basically, of Rhys Hoskins for his knee, and he has been a participant in spring training. He has not participated in any form of spring training games, and that looks like it's going to happen this week, maybe today. So we'll see how that all breaks down, but that's where we're at right now with Rhys Hoskins. Still no contract. He's still just making $12 million this year, and we'll see where we go from there. So that'll be exciting. There, Rhys Hoskins. Aaron Nola gets to start today. Zach Wheeler tomorrow. Andrew Painter on Wednesday. Let's get into the story from the weekend. You guys heard me say it a million times. 26 games after the All-Star break. Give me a reason to believe that the Sixers are going to be a team that is going to make it out of the second round. Just give me that reason. That's what I'm asking for. A vote of confidence, more or less. They go up against the Boston Celtics on Sunday night. I have a little bit of I won't even call it. It wasn't a party. It was a social gathering, more so. Just to watch the game, sit down, relax, see what's going on, right? You know, have some fun. 8:30 tip off Saturday night. Kids are in bed. You know, you really enjoy the evening. And what took place in that game was crushing. Absolutely crushing. Sixers at one point led the Boston Celtics, a full squad Boston Celtics. I like the last time we played them where they were basically missing four starters by the, not basically, they were missing four starters by the second half there. You didn't have Blake Griffin just raining threes upon you, so that was nice. You were going up against the Boston Celtics, number one seeded Boston Celtics. You go 15 points on that squad, and it's not a comfortable lead. Because out of nowhere, our dear friend Al Horford decides to go off for four threes in the third quarter to really erase all hope that you had of holding on to a 15-point lead. Al Horford gets hot. James Harden gets cold. Tobias Harris started out great, slowed in the second half. Tyrese Maxey couldn't get anything really going for himself. And you had to rely solely on your man, Joel Embiid. I'm the guy that's not afraid, and I find it hilarious sometimes the pushback you get whenever you mention anything negative about Joel Embiid. I can acknowledge that I have had Joel Embiid as an MVP already in this league. I can acknowledge he's one of the greatest Sixers I've ever seen, like in my lifetime, top three Sixer ever, or in my lifetime, top two Sixer ever, really. But I can say all the great things about how much I love the guy, how much the Sixers need to get him help, and how much the process after the process has kind of screwed him over in the NBA and how they've reacted to it. It's just bonkers to me. I can acknowledge that. If Maxey, now listen to what I'm saying here. Maxey needs to do more. Harden can't play as bad as he did in that second half against a team like the Celtics. Tobias Harris needs to play consistent basketball for four quarters. All that is 1, 2, and 3 as to why they lost this game to the Celtics. But if they're not going to step up, if those, let's see, three other guys aren't going to step up in a game like the Celtics and the Sixers are going to win and the Sixers are going to actually make it out of the second round of the playoffs, then Joel Embiid needs to go from playing at an MVP level to like a first ballot Hall of Famer level. Like that's what he needs to do. So I'm saying he's the MVP of the league. What's the next best thing? He's got to be like the greatest ever. That's what he has to play at. And he shouldn't have to play like that. He shouldn't have to play a perfect game for this team to win a basketball game. And he knows it. He needs help. It's up to James Harden, Tyrese Maxey, Tobias Harris, DeAnthony Melton getting hot from three, George Niang getting hot from three. It's up for everybody else on this team needs to raise their game. Joel Embiid is not perfect, and I'm the first person to call him out when he's not perfect. But damn, he played a near perfect game. And I don't know, when he gets stripped by Jaylen Brown late in that game, I don't know where the communication is. I think it was about the seven-minute mark of the fourth quarter. He gets stripped by Jaylen Brown. And nobody's talking to him. He gets the ball at the top of the key, or in foul line, has it down here. First of all, he shouldn't have the ball down there, but he put the ball down there. But nobody talks to him. Coming around, watch your back, help him out. Nobody talks to him. So Joel Embiid, after the game, decided to talk. And he more or less acknowledged that the guy that's supposed to complete the big three, as everybody likes to have in the NBA, is Tyrese Maxey. First off, Tyrese Maxey, defensively speaking, according to your head coach, shouldn't be in the lineup. That's what he's saying by having DeAnthony Melton out there as a starter. You can't have Tyrese Maxey out there for defensive reasons, which I still think you have your best five out there. I don't think Tyrese Maxey, I don't think you're getting the best out of Tyrese Maxey or the best out of this team with Maxey coming off the bench for you. DeAnthony Melton was acquired to be a bench player. Everyone was excited, myself included, to get him as a bench player. One of the best bench players in the league. Come off the bench and help you. And now he's in the starting. And Doc Rivers puts him in the starting five. Still doesn't make any sense. Tyrese Maxey now is struggling with his own confidence in this game. And there was one play in particular. And after the game, and I'll get to that, Joel Embiid basically said, they're not basically, he said that they need more from Tyrese Maxey. They said, we need you to be more aggressive. We need you to go after it. We're not going anywhere. This is what Joel Embiid said. We're not going anywhere
with you playing at this level, we need you to be aggressive and attack the rim. So there was one play in particular in that third quarter where Harden and Embiid and Maxey were all on the court at the same time. And Maxey made a move at the top of the key and had a lane to the basket. He might have gotten a weak side defender to come over by the time he got to the basket, but the lane was there for the opportunity for even an N1, okay? And Tyrese Maxey did exactly what he did at the start of last year before he had that burst onto the scene. If you remember last year, Joel Embiid had COVID, missed 9 games. Tyrese Maxey came in and played phenomenal basketball. A couple 30-point games. It was a great run for Tyrese Maxey. Joel Embiid comes back. Maxey goes way back into the shadows. That's the way he played the game last night. Like he was back in the shadow. On Saturday night. He was back in the shadows. And I saw this play unfold. And I saw it was a dribble handoff, top of the key, from Embiid to Maxey, who then cut to his right, had the lane, and deferred pass back to Joel Embiid at the top of the key. And that was the perfect play for Maxey, where he's in motion, he's got a step on the defender already, and he only needs a half a step, and he would have been at the rim for at least an N1 opportunity. And that is what is so mind-boggling to me, is that he goes through these streaks, he goes through these stretches where he just doesn't look like the same confident basketball player that we have seen him play as. And that's what's so frustrating to me. And Joel Embiid, God bless him for being a leader like he is and just taking him aside after the game and saying, we're not going anywhere unless you're attacking the rim. Later in the game, you started to see it a little bit. I don't know if there was anything said during the game, but it was just wild to watch Maxey over the last couple of weeks not play at that high level. The numbers have been down for him. That has led to his confidence being down. And I think a lot of it goes back to the fact that he's coming off the bench and not starting. And I thought that was going to be a huge step forward for him this year. Both not just having your starting five solidified essentially, but also having a great bench. That was supposed to be the biggest difference. And you haven't really seen that difference, especially when you get outscored by 10 with Joel Embiid off the floor. Where's your bench then? Backup center position has not been filled. I love Paul Reed to pieces like everybody else, but oh, no bueno. No bueno. Sixers lost Saturday night, in case you missed it, 110-107. And it's just a lot of different things going on right now with the Sixers that just isn't giving you that confidence going forward about what they bring to the table in the playoffs. Like, that's what I'm – my number one goal after this game was having these last 26 games and giving you reason and hope that you are actually going to go into the playoffs and have a chance to win in that second round. And losing to the Celtics by blowing a 15-point lead, not playing the way that you're supposed to be playing, especially if you're Tyrese Maxey, that's what gives you the most worries. That's what gives you the most concern going forward. Sixers, by the way, 9 threes, 9 of 27 from beyond the arc. It was a bit of a rough one. Little Toots, I locked both gates. How did you get down here? Wow. All right, show everyone your hair. You want to show everyone your hair? You got to stop smoking them cigars, sweetheart. Okay. Just show everyone your hair real quick. Go ahead. I know that's why you could. For the people on the podcast, Emmanuel's hair is just bonkers right now. Go ahead. That is just, look at that. Look at that. You know, Jason Kelsey's daughter also crashed his podcast. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Where's mommy?
Mommy upstairs sleeping.
Mommy's upstairs sleeping. Can you go tell her that you need milk? Or orange juice?
I don't like milk.
All right, can you go tell her that you need orange juice? Yep. All right, little Toots is back, everybody. Oh boy, oh boy. I'm seeing the chats already. I'll be sure to get to you guys in a minute. Don't you worry.
Daddy, I hear you out my room. You talking?
Yeah, you hear me talking from your room? That's because my voice travels through the vents into your room. But when we get the studio built, which was supposed to start last week, you won't hear me anymore, so you can still sleep. Okay. Does that sound good? All right. Oh man, that is Sean. What? She is MacGyver. We're gonna watch the show MacGyver one day together, you and I, because that was one of Daddy's favorite shows as a kid.
I don't like want to watch that.
You want to watch MacGyver. It's like Paw Patrol, but different.
I don't want to.
All right, fine. Can Daddy continue the show, please?
I want to tell my mom and dad.
All right. You're going to go to your room?
No.
No? Okay. No worries. No worries, sweetheart. Ursula's back? That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous.
I don't want to go back.
Okay. Why don't you see the blue blanket right there? No. Why don't you grab that? And you can have a seat right there. And I'll just make sure Ursula doesn't come over here, okay? Sound good?
I have my diaper.
I know. This is a first. Okay, you can take your overnight diaper off. That's fine. Off camera. For the people of the podcast, that's off camera. But anyway, Sixers are back at Sixers after their horrible loss. And by the way, this was just this was also awful. While I'm on the subject, Sixers last night or Saturday. I keep saying Saturday, last night. Sixers are back at it, right back at it against the Heat tonight at home. So, you know, hopefully they beat the Heat. That'd be a nice thing. Let me tell you about Stephen Singer of Stephen Singer Jewelers, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, right there on Jewelers Row, the other corner of 8th and Walnut, where people fall in love and get engaged. Stephen offers the perfect price each and every day online at IHateStephenSinger.com. That's IHateStephenSinger.com. One place, perfect price online at IHateStephenSinger.com. Let me tell you about the great people at Manscaped. Join 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with confidence and comfort. That's what you got to do at manscaped.com. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. How about the amazing people at Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com? What do you got?
Rainbow.
The light?
No, a rainbow.
A rainbow. Yeah, it looks like a rainbow. Freestone Farm CBD, freestonefarmcbd.com. Use 20% off promo code Farsi, freestonefarmcbd.com. PHL Sports Nation, Philadelphia Sports Nation, enhancing your Philadelphia sports fan experience across all social media and blogs. That's phlsportsnation.com. Let's get into the chat check and see how you guys are doing today. What do you got?
I took my pants on.
Okay. You want to put those back on? I got this. Here we go. Sorry. I'm going to dad for 1 second here. There we go. There, your pants are fixed. See that? Tag in the back.
Tag in the back?
Tag in the back. There you go.
I love a hat.
Alexa's got a hat?
No.
All right.
Alexa, down here in studio.
Oh, wrong leg. There you go. All right, you can take it from there. Huh? There you go, sweetheart. Kevin, what's up, Kevin? Good morning. April, good morning.
Wait, that is April?
Yeah, April. Say hi, April.
Hi, April.
Professor Dutch. What's up, Professor Dutch? Good morning, Farzi fam. Super Bowl loss, maybe still sting. Sixers may never beat the Celtics. And Sir Trey Vance Turner. Is his middle name Vance? Is it really? Is Philadelphia Philly. That is fantastic. Yep, you can have that pen. Sean Gillespie, good morning. A, let's go, Phils. Yes, let's go. Double oven mitts for Trey Turner. It's a vibe. PJ, you're not wrong. Was it Trey Turner saying he doesn't like wearing the oven mitts? I felt like I read that. And then I watched the game and I saw he had the double oven mitts. That is such a weird look. I don't know if I'll ever get... I am already more used to the pitch clock in baseball than I am the oven mitt at all in baseball. Not even just the double oven mitt. I'm just talking about the single oven mitt. It's an oven mitt. It looks weird. Why is a guy wearing an oven mitt? I understand it's for safety. That you don't break your fingers or your wrist or anything like that sliding the bags. I get it. I am still not at all used to it. Oh, the cat's down here now, too. Good Lord. This is everyone. Scratching the Farzi show. Everyone in the chat, just come on over. Did you just yell at Lily? Damn. Madalutz, that was a boss move right there. Double oven mitts turn is a vibe. Yes, it is. What, sweetheart? Yeah, go ahead. You can draw on that. That's fine. Ray Fitzgerald, I think baseball, all those rules
forced at the beginning of the season. As the season goes on, they'll loosen up, especially in big moments. Ray, I know what you're saying. I think baseball is really committed to this. I think baseball is really committed to speeding up the game. Almost sounds so cliche now, but I like to call it trimming the fat. And I got one rule that I've pitched to a couple of people, no pun intended, and they liked it. It's one more thing baseball, I think, needs to do to trim the fat. Tyrese Maxey has a regression. A, what's going on? Yeah, it certainly seems like that. Ray Fitzgerald, it's like the old days. The Sixers cannot beat the Celtics in a series four times. It'll never happen. Ray, by the way, that reminds me. I think it should be mandated when the Sixers and Celtics play a big game, like a prime time Saturday night game. Both teams are good. I think it should be mandated from the league. They have to wear their normal jerseys. They have to wear their normal jerseys. None of this, you know, brotherly love stuff. And I like the brotherly love jersey. I'm just saying the Celtics wear whatever jersey that was on Saturday night. I think they have to wear the classic jerseys. That's my rule. Sean Gillespie, Lil Toots equals MacGyver. Ray Fitzgerald, George Niang doing nothing anymore. Obvious Rivers does not like Harrell. He couldn't give you 10 minutes the other night. The guy doesn't hustle and get rebounds. Or the guy does hustle and get rebounds. Sorry, Ray. Yeah. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, it's – I just think this team is past the Doc Rivers point, and I think I'm not a fire the coach guy. I don't bang the drum for that. I blame players first, but when the players don't respond and they're still not responding, you got to move on from the coach. And I think that's what we're going through right now with the 76ers. Sean Gillespie, the Ursula again. She's so devious. I'll tell you, man. I kicked her out last week. Apparently she's back. Mihai, what's up, Mihai? Good morning. The Embiid post last second shot in our sports scene for now is our sports scene for now just missing. That was incredible. Oh, wow, sweetheart. Oh, that's a Sharpie. We're not going to play with that because then we'll get questions from your school. The post shot, Montalutz, can we not play with the Sharpie, please? Thank you so much. Here, use this. I almost got stabbed with a Sharpie. Oh, you're going to put the cap back on. Oh, my goodness. What a smart girl. What a smart young lady. Thank you so much.
There's no Sharp.
That's another Sharpie. Yeah, you don't want that one. Here, you can have this. That's fun. For the people on the pod, you know, I need to just take everything out of this desk. Anyway. And what was crazy about that was Embiid waved it off like he knew it didn't count immediately, and then he walked off the court. The Celtics were like, wait, what just happened? Let's go, Phils. We need to finish top two in the NL East, top four seed in the National League. I like that. Hey, fire Glenn Rivers. I like the protest that goes on with fire Glenn Rivers as opposed to Doc Rivers kind of sums it up for everybody, don't you think? Here's my one more rule change. Thanks, everybody in the chat. You guys are great, as per usual. Here's my rule change in baseball, and I think I've said this on the show before. I've read this by a couple of people. You want to save some time with baseball? I think the average pitching change takes like 3 minutes. You want to change some time? You want to make some headway? Here's what you do. The next pitcher takes the previous pitcher out. You want a timeout? You want a mound conference? You have a couple of timeouts. You don't get as many as you want. All right. You get maybe two timeouts as a manager, one timeout as a manager. Hell, they do it in hockey. Other than that, if you just want to change the pitcher, you have the next pitcher take a ball and you go out to the mound. Now, where do they warm up? Well, first thing I do is I turn every bullpen in Major League Baseball, every stadium that has a bullpen, I turn those bullpens into bars. Standing room only bars. Have yourself a party at the ballpark. Everybody warms up in the bowels of the stadium where I'm pretty sure every stadium in baseball has an inner area where you can take batting practice before the game. I know the Phillies have one. I know most other stadiums have one, especially the more modern stadiums. Wrigley, it might be tough, but I'm sure you can find some space. Fenway, probably the same thing. And I would just have the guys warm up
in the bowels of the stadium. They go out to the mound. They get their three or five warm-up pitches, get used to the new scenery, and then they have at it. But go take this guy out. Like, could you imagine Glenn Rivers going into Joel Embiid and saying, Joe, you look tired. I'm going to bring in Paul Reed. Why would you want to do that? Oh, yeah, I'm going to bring in Paul Reed. And then Paul Reed comes in after a conversation. Like, that's stupid. That's stupid. Just go in there and take him out. Just go in there and take him out. Next guy takes the previous guy out. That's my another time saver for baseball. But I do like the rule changes, as I have stated. Sixers Heat is the matchup tonight. As I mentioned, 7 o'clock tip off. Heat did not have it such a great a season. Heat are only 3 games over 500. Sixers are 6-point favorites in this game against the Heat. I'm going to go ahead and say the Sixers cover that tonight. We used to do a segment on the show called Big Bets. My big bet tonight is going to be on the Sixers covering the 6 points over the Miami Heat tonight in a bounce back win. Your boy Jimmy Butler, 21 points on the season per game, just under 22 points per game. Joel Embiid, obviously 33 points per game, having himself a time. Flyers, another interesting weekend for the Flyers. They're going to be back on the ice after a very disappointing performance, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, one of the worst losses I've ever seen the Flyers have. A 7-0 loss against the New Jersey Devils up in North Jersey. They lose 7-0. They're off till Wednesday night, I believe they face the Rangers. But holy pots and pans. They allow 3 goals in the second. That's the thing, it was scoreless after the first period. They allow the Devils to score 3 goals in the second period, 4 goals in the third period, en route to that 7-0 loss. So that is a bit of a tough pill to swallow for Flyers fans, unfortunately. There was one more thing I wanted to make sure I got to today, and it just hasn't happened. There you go, sweetie. So there you go. All right, everybody, that's the show today. Much appreciated. Jim Heiden produced the program, did a wonderful job as per usual. Hope to talk to you guys tomorrow about a Sixers win over the Heat. I think we will. PJ produced program. It's a Buzz Sports Entertainment production. My name is Mark Farzana. This is the Farzy Show presented by Steven Singer of Steven Singer Jewelers. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. See ya.